I don't suppose you would find it a surprise to come to church, to come to a meeting like this, and maybe be asked about your soul. I would hope you wouldn't find it a surprise. Surely that's what we're here for, folks. If you came hoping to find a time when we all just felt excited and went home excited, I don't think that's what it's about. It's about a challenge in my soul. Folks, eternity is right out there. And the fact is, someday all the frivolous feelings of this world is going to drop away. And I will stand before the august majesty of heaven to give an account of the deeds done in the body. And that's part of the reason why we're very serious during these meetings. One of the things I would like to leave with you and challenge you for not only the remainder of this meeting, but for the other meetings that will be going on this summer, other meetings if the Lord allows us time and life that we'll be able to attend into the future, let's spend time during those meetings, approaching those meetings, let's cut off frivolity of life. We're dealing very seriously in soul matters. And let's be careful that we don't do anything that would harm the dealings of the Spirit of the Lord during these meetings. Let's don't get our minds off on too many things. Let's bring our minds in and focus. Folks, it's important for people to be saved. It's important for me to live right and be saved. And it's important for you to live right and be saved. It's of utmost importance. I cannot say that strong enough. I cannot overstate that. It's of utmost importance that we be saved. We have one shot. And God wants you and I to take it very seriously and love Him and seek Him with all of our heart. And I want you to know also this, that it's not His will that any should perish. God wants you to be saved more than what you want to be saved. He does. I have found in my life, I've watched things happen. Sometimes on a temporal, on a physical side, I've watched people get diseased. And I've watched them in time, the disease have an effect on their body. And I've watched the decay. I've watched the wasting away of their frame. I've seen the hollowness of their eyes, the pallor of their skin. I've seen every sign saying to me that they're marching toward eternity. I've watched that happen in physical lives. And I believe probably you have too. And sometimes it happens to those we know and we love. And we want to change it so badly. And sometimes I remember when I saw my father when he was having the illness that ended up taking his life, and I watched the changes. And the beginning, I was desperate. I was saying, Lord, change this situation. I wanted him to live. I was desperate. I remember out there in our shop building there on the farm, kneeling down, begging God to change the situation. I wanted him to live. But that turned out a very good thing for my father. He got saved from that situation and he made heaven. I look back with both pleasure of that situation, and there were some very sad times to that situation. But ultimately, when I saw him draw his last breath, there was a great satisfaction in my soul that his eyes were seeing something that I couldn't see. And he was taking pleasure in the arms of my dear Savior. That's a great comfort for me. Then have you ever watched people make changes spiritually? Yes. Have you ever watched them become spiritually diseased? Yes. Have you ever watched the wasting process? Have you ever watched the changes, the pallor on their face? Have you ever watched the malaise? Yes. Have you ever noticed, you know what I'm talking about, the malaise? They don't have much energy, much spiritual desire. They don't hardly put forth an effort to come Sunday morning. And Sunday night's really hard. And Wednesday night they just
have other things to do.
It's more than just that, folks, but it starts showing up in these places. And you watch their interests are somewhere else.
My mic is not on. I'm sorry, but Shane. Does that help?
I'm sorry.
But you watch the changes in people's lives, and their desires are toward the other interests out there that they could much more easily be involved in. I don't want to say anything, but the frivolous things of life, instead of dealing with the issues of their soul. It's much easier to make room for my anger than to deal with it and come to the Lord and say, God, I've got a problem. I'm being diseased. And I don't want this thing to control my life. Folks, there's all kinds of diseases, spiritual infections that the devil would like to implant on our hearts today. And it will cause, when it has run its course, it will cause ultimate spiritual death. And I want to tell you tonight, I want you to be saved. I don't want you to be lost. I want you to make it. Are you going to find some hard places, maybe some reverses in life? Yes, you will. I talked to a brother one time. He had gotten saved. And I wanted to encourage him. I sent him an email and I said, brother, I said, you're going to find the devil is going to contest your salvation. He doesn't like you being saved, and he's going to try his best to tell you it didn't happen. He's going to try his best to cool you down and make you stop. I got an email back in about a day or two. He told me, he said, brother, he already has tried to tell me that. He said, but I have determined that if I fall, I'm going to fall forward and start crawling. Folks, I want to tell you, you may find some hard places in life, but you show me a man that's on his knees crawling forward, the pallor, the face, the color of his face is going to be vibrant. I'm going to make it. Keep on digging, young folks. Keep on digging, saints. You will hit some hard places, some places you're probably very disappointed. But you keep on going. We're fighting for our soul. And don't stop. Would you open your Bibles with me over into Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Sometimes people get to the point in their life, they just get tired. They get tired of fighting. You know what? It's the devil's desire to wear out the saints of the Most High. He would like to steal from us our passion. He would like to steal from us our determination. He would like to steal from us our eternal goal. He would like to make me believe it's not worth it. And maybe I have lived, saved now a number of years, and I've gotten to the point that this one in the congregation, I see their faults pretty good, and they rub me a little wrong, and this one over here does too, and this one does, and that one does, and I just really don't want to go to church anymore. You know, they're full of hypocrites. Have you heard of that? Has the devil ever tried to tell you that? You know what? It doesn't make any difference how many hypocrites sit on the bench right next to you. It doesn't make any difference. Are you interested in going to heaven or not? I am too, brother. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do it. I don't want the devil to steal the blood out of my spiritual life, to slowly leak it out. I don't want to give him. I'm not interested in giving him that advantage. Over here in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet had a vision. Or something happened anyway. This is his account of it. First verse, 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones.
would have been quite a scene. I live out in the country. And I've been out in my pasture before, and I've seen bones out there. And every time I see some bones out there, it reminds me of an animal that I once had, that something happened. Either it got diseased, and it began to waste away. I've watched it happen. And finally, there came a point that all that I could try to do to save their life, they just finally laid down and died. And I felt disappointed, and I felt failed, like I failed. And I remember one time, within a quarter mile of my house, there was a couple of young men who were driving down the road way too fast, and at an intersection, T-boned another larger vehicle. And these two young men, and like 16 and 17 year olds, I watched them die, and with everything I could try to do to keep life in them, they went ahead and died before me. And you feel so sad. You feel like you failed. Is there anything else I could have done? Oh, but when I watch you, when I watch souls sitting in this congregation, begin to grow cold and indifferent. I do everything I know how to do to ask you to live. I want you to go to heaven. And I hope somehow you can grasp the import of the small decisions that you're making in life and what it's really going to mean for eternity. It doesn't make any difference how many people have hurt you. That excuse will not work at the throne of glory. When He says, "My grace is sufficient for you," it will really make no difference if I am interested in so many other things in life and I've gotten so careless and I say, "Lord, you know, there's a lot of things entered in, and you know," and I try to explain it to him, I want to tell you that the explanation will fall very hollow. It will mean nothing. What will you do tonight about your soul? Has there been the disease that has gotten in us and caused us to accept something less than what God has? Has there been something begin to grow in me that has caused me to settle for less than the vibrant workings of God in my life? I want to tell you, God wants you to be alive. The prophet saw a whole field of bones. Bones represent lives that used to be. Bones represent lives that one time stood up and maybe sung the song that said, "I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know till God has given victory. Till onward I shall go." I forget. You know the song. Oh, there have sometimes been people that have sung those songs with a deep meaning, with a deep relation to that song. And then somewhere later on down the road, they got diseased and began to allow those things to deteriorate their relationship with the Lord. I want to ask you tonight not to let that happen. Sometimes bones are laying around, and in time, after people have deteriorated and went on down and died, and their bones are laying out there, looks pretty helpless. This prophet, the Lord showed him a valley full of bones, which was full of bones. And the second verse said, "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley." What a sad tale this valley was telling. What a sad fact that there were so much evidence of life that used to be. laying all around for the sun to bleach. I want to tell you, you look around, you see lives out there in the world laying dry and parched, have no reason. No, they are void of the Lord and they're only living with a useless, worthless, empty life. I want to tell you, God's got something better than that. Caused me to pass by round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. There was no hope for these. They were dry. They had been dead for a long time. There was no chance. And the Lord said to me, the prophet, the Lord said to the prophet, Son of man, can these bones live? Where are you tonight? Are you some of those bones laying around in the field that life has slain you? Disease has gotten a hold. And you've gotten to the point you've about decided it's not worth it. And you just laid down and died. And you've about convinced yourself now that probably I'm just going to go on and meet eternity with what I got on hand. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to prophesy to you tonight. The Lord wants to call to you. If you're one of those that is diseased and on the dying road, the Lord wants to prophesy to you tonight. The Lord wants to call to you tonight. The Lord wants to invite you to life. He wants to breathe His Spirit within you. He wants to cause where death was at work. He wants to destroy the works of the enemy. He wants to cause life to bloom again where death was at work. The question was put to this prophet, can these bones live? I want to tell you folks, sometimes from our human vision, we can look at a situation and we say, I have no idea how that can ever be rectified. Looks like a hopeless case. Those people have just rejected God and it looks like there's no way. Oh, but God's looking at it differently. I want to tell you tonight, if you feel like you're hopeless, that there's too much as mounted around your life and it's just too far from where you are to Calvary, I want to tell you, the Lord knows how to shorten the road. The Lord wants to prophesy to you tonight. He wants to call you to life. He wants to call you away from the disease. He's still a healer in Zion.
Yes, sir.
There is still a balm for your hurt. There is still a God who wants to take you and I and gather us in His arms and make us all right again. He knows how to take the broken. He knows how to take the wounded. He knows how to take you and I wherever we're found, wherever the disease, as far as the curse is found, that's where He'll be. He knows to prophesy to you. He calls because He loves. It's not His will that any should perish. Can these bones live? There might be someone here tonight that's saying, these bones can't get up from here anymore. I'm done. The devil's whispering that in your ears and trying to tell you there's no use. That's not the Word of God. The Word of God went on to tell this prophet, he said, start talking to those bones. Start prophesying to them. And as the prophet began to obey the Lord and call to those bones, you know what started happening? Hope started rising in their bosom. They started coming together. Healing started happening. And they stood up. And they became an army for God. I believe I'm looking in the faces of some here tonight that's dried up. And God's calling. God said, let me put it back together. I want to invite you tonight. Will you come down to the altar? as we sing a song, will you come down tonight? Will you hear the prophecy and the call of the Lord? He wants you tonight to come and be healed. He wants you to be saved. I want you to be saved. Why will you die, O house of Israel? When God stands as our healer, when He promises that He will reject none who come to Him, and that means you, when His great desire is to take the broken pieces, the broken lives, and put hope where death was at work. I believe that's the message the Lord has me to prophesy to you tonight. And as we have a song, I want to ask you, as the Spirit is dealing with your heart, if you're hearing the voice of the Lord calling to you in all your dry places, I ask you to come down and be healed tonight.